This is Legacy Chatterbox, issue number 104 for April 2025, narrated by Wendy Hinson and David Tridinic. For your convenience, each heading is marked with a new track. Contents. Opening announcement. This table of contents. From the editor. President's report. Marketing and nuisance calls. Chatterbox audio. CEO update. Widow's social club meetings. Social Club News. Captain Margaret L. Leishman, World War II Australian nursing sister, an Anzac Day tribute speech. Legatee Bob Keating continues to entertain. Poem, Friends. Junior's profile, Ride for Legacy. Public Relations and Community. Engagement Committee. Commuting by train from the Central Coast. Legacy beneficiaries' contributions. Book review. Kathy's Kitchen. Poem. End Friendship. Vale. Continuing our legacy of care. From our readers. The lighter side of life. In the garden with Ros Bailey. Announcements and advertisements. Contact details. Publishing and copyright statement. Closing announcement. From the editor. Legatee David Ferry. Welcome to our April edition of Chatterbox. The year 2025 has arrived with some major changes happening within Central Coast Legacy. Earlier this month, our Legacy waterfront village was tendered for sale, ending a significant history for Central Coast Legacy. Our village residents have been well looked after in the pending move, and we thank Peter Lawley, OAM, and his staff for their excellent help in the transition process. The late Max Davis, OAM, our former Chatterbox editor, has been awarded posthumously the Order of Australia, OAM, for his extensive services to veterans and their families, which we were all very proud to hear. This award to Max was very much deserved. Included in this issue are all our monthly events, including our very successful 2024 Christmas party for our wonderful beneficiaries, held for the first time at the new Gosford RSL Club. The RSL Club staff looked after us all very well, serving a delicious Christmas dinner. In my ongoing History of the Central Coast, I've written a humorous and serious account of my years of commuting by train from and back to the coast, which I am sure most of us can relate to. Legatee David Ferry, Editor. President's Report. Legatee Patrick Gallagher, CSC. Welcome to this 104th issue of Chatterbox. The year 2024 ended in December with the welcome and very much appreciated donation of $20,000 from the BOMAS, Bikers for Legacy, following their annual Central Coast Legacy fundraising ride in November. While the year 2025 began with a fitting tribute to the work of one of our past legatees, Max Davis, who passed away in January 2023. The late Frank Leslie, Max Davis, was awarded a posthumous Order of Australia Medal, OAM, in the 2025 Australia Day Honours for his service to veterans and their families. Max Davis served with the Australian Army from 1957 to 1963 in Australia, Malaysia and Borneo. He joined Central Coast New South Wales Legacy in 2007, serving on the Board of Directors from 2007 to 2021. During that time, he undertook many roles, including Chairman and Deputy Chairman of the Board, President and Vice President of the Club, and Chairman of Public Relations and Chatterbox. I have written to Sharon Davis on behalf of the Club. In past Chatterboxes, I have advised that the Board of Directors are carefully considering the way ahead for the continued provision of accommodation and services to our beneficiaries who are located in the current Legacy Village. The most feasible and cost-effective option will now likely involve a combination of leased residential accommodation, leased and purchased office space in the immediate area in Shortland Street, as well as retention of residential accommodation on the boundary of our current site in York Street. All club members and village residents will continue to be kept up to date and consulted throughout this process. As I have said many times, regardless of the outcome of those deliberations, everyone should note that the ability to provide both emergency and affordable housing for beneficiaries in need will remain an immutable core objective and capability of our club now and into the future. In December 2024, the Board established a Strategy and Planning Subcommittee, chaired by Legatee Bob Lowry, Deputy Chairman of the Board and Vice President of the Club. The subcommittee will consider the short and medium-term challenges for Central Coast Legacy over the period 2025 to 2030 and present its findings to the Board. Once the Board has settled on a recommendation for the way ahead for our club, the outcomes will be reported to members before the annual budgeting process in May 2025. Finally, and again looking to the future, the 2025 Central Coast Legacy Scholarship Program attracted some 26 applications and interviews were held with 10 candidates. The applicants ranged in age from 16 to 53 years and included a student starting Year 11 in 2025, school leavers, HSC in 2024, and those already at university or about to embark upon tertiary study. The Scholarship Committee members were unanimous in their view that 8 applicants were most deserving of Central Coast Legacy scholarships. An awards lunch that will be attended by both the recipients and local dignitaries is to be held on the 15th of April 2025. Until next time, warmest regards to all. Legatee Patrick Gallagher, CSC, President. Marketing and nuisance calls. If you feel you're getting too many marketing or nuisance calls, you can contact the Do Not Call Register on 1300 792 958 or go to donotcall.gov.au. Some organisations that have your consent or are exempt may still call you occasionally. Chatterbox Audio. Many of our enrolled beneficiaries receive copies of Chatterbox on audio CD. If you are a sight-impaired enrolled beneficiary or know someone who is, you can access an audio edition via MP3 or audio CD. If you would like an audio version of Chatterbox, please contact the Legacy Office on 4323 4977. CEO Update. Peter Lawley, OAM. In 2025, Central Coast Legacy staff celebrate some significant milestones. In January, we recognised Heather Wilby's 25th year of service. Initially commencing as a receptionist, to now being executive operational support to the board and CEO, as well as village manager, Heather's skills and knowledge of all things legacy has benefited this organisation significantly. The next milestone in February was Colin Bullard with 20 years of service. Commencing initially at Legacy Aged Care, Wyoming, as a kitchen hand, Colin is now the welfare bus driver, taking our social clubs on outings, whilst also continuing as grounds and general maintenance of the Legacy Village. Later in the year, the well-known and loved welfare team leader Michael Parsons will also celebrate 25 years of service to Central Coast Legacy. Michael's empathetic and caring nature continues to endear him to all of our beneficiaries, and his passion for arranging major events so that all can come together has seen a great success in improving the social lives of so many over the years. We now have a small staff team of 7, providing support to our legatees, and of course being there to ensure all of our beneficiaries and families are well supported. And in total, we have some 117 years of combined service to Central Coast Legacy. All staff look forward to the year ahead, with our annual Legacy Race Day in April, Mother's Day luncheon in May, and other events to be arranged to ensure we provide social contacts for all our beneficiaries, in addition to our welfare program. Of course, a major change will be the relocation of our office and residence in the village, something that we will ensure occurs seamlessly, and we continue to be there for all. Peter Lawley, OAM, Chief Executive Officer.
Widows Social Club Meetings. Sunflower Club meets at Etalong Beach Diggers Club on the first and third Friday of each month at 10 a.m. with a monthly social outing on the third Wednesday of each month. The Entrance Long Jetty Widows Club meet at Diggers at the Entrance on the third Monday of each month at 10 a.m. and a monthly social outing is the first Tuesday of each month. Tookley Widows Club meets at The Airy, Tookley, on the first Monday of the month at 10 a.m. with a social outing on the third Thursday of the month. Wattle Club meets at Erina Leagues Club on the first and third Thursday of the month at 10:15 a.m. to 12 noon, with a social outing on the fourth Friday of the month. Poppy Club is a newly established social club for contemporary post-Vietnam War widows. They gather for social outings at various times and days throughout each month, to a variety of locations. Rosemary Widows Club meet at the Aerie, Tookley, on the second Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m, with the social outing on the fourth Wednesday of the month. For further information about our social clubs, please call 4323 4977. Social Club News. Welfare Team Report. As your trusted welfare advocates, we are well and truly committed to making 2025 another fantastic year for every one of our enrolled beneficiaries. What matters most to us is you. At Central Coast Legacy, we pride ourselves in the true spirit of service. We are uncompromisingly focused on ensuring your health, happiness, and safety. Should you or another within our family experience any form of hardship, either personally or emotionally, regardless of circumstance, please let us know. Additionally, should you wish to join us each month socially, we'd also love to hear from you. Staying connected, spending time with friends and family, and participating in social activities can have a significant impact on all areas of your health and happiness. Benefits include boosting your memory, physical and mental health, preventing common health conditions, and reducing isolation and loneliness. We can help you stay connected, socially and personally, introducing you to our various social clubs, major events held throughout the year, sharing our knowledge of resources and services available to suit your specific needs, and if relevant, assist you in accessing these services. Should you wish to inquire about our services and programs, or your circumstances have recently changed, we are available via a quick phone call to our office on 4323 4977. Depending upon your needs, we can assist you over the phone or arrange a suitable time to visit you in the comfort of your home. Rosemary Social Club. Happy New Year to all. I hope everyone enjoyed the celebrations. It's been good to get together again after the break. We may not enjoy the humidity of summer, but it will be cold before we know it. Like most groups, numbers at meetings are dropping, which is sad but inevitable. Illness and age are the main factors. Sometimes our group has trouble getting the minimum number required for bus outings. We miss the ladies from the south, but understand it's easier for them to get to more local gatherings. Following the planning meeting in January, we now have to plan ahead where we'd like to go for the next couple of months. So many choices, so many different places. Cole, our bus driver replacing Chris, has to plan the trip ahead of the day, which I'm sure is a pain, especially if there's a no-show to fill the bus and he has so many women offering advice at the one time. I didn't go on the mystery trip last November with Chris, so it remained a mystery until one of our ladies checked her diary. However, this year we've enjoyed a run to and lunch at Mangrove Golf Club, and in March to Cam's Wharf beside Lake Macquarie. The plan is to alternate going south and north, which should work well. We look forward to the fun of the Legacy Race Day in April and the Mother's Day gathering in May, which keeps us in touch with members we don't often see. Tookley Social Club. How good it is to be together again. I know, because of who we are, many have kept in touch during our break with phone calls, coffee or lunches. Our meetings, held at the Aerie, Tookley, 10 a.m. on the first Monday of the month, are enjoyed by all. We get an update on what might be new. Following a planning meeting in January, where various club members, liaison officers and staff put forward new ideas, some things have changed a little. We expect to see more guest speakers, and bus trip destinations will be decided by the group. Cole, from Legacy, is our new bus driver after the departure of Chris. So far, we've had a trip to Caves Beach Coastal Bar and also Harrigan's Pub at Cameron Park. A couple of events were held which the ladies enjoyed. We had high tea celebrating International Women's Day at the Hub in Wyong to celebrate women and how important we are in the veteran community. The Legacy Race Day in April was again something not to be missed. A chance to get dressed up, meet other widows and have a fun-filled few hours and maybe pick a winner. Sometimes we just need a chance to switch off from the woes of the world. One thing we always look forward to is the Mother's Day luncheon in May, where we can be spoilt a little by legatees and staff. We do appreciate that. It reminds us that we are all valued and loved. For those, and there are quite a few, who have been unwell, we wish you a speedy recovery and hope to see you back again at meetings and outings. Sunflower Social Club. Our year commenced with a very well-attended coffee morning on January the 17th. Some members decided to stay on for lunch. On January the 22nd, we attended the funeral of our dear member, Irene Joyce Harvey, known to all of us as Joy. Joy was 101 years and regularly attended all our meetings and bus trips over the years. Joy was both a member and a World War II veteran. How we all miss her. We have good regular attendance at our meetings, which are held on the first and third Friday of each month. Many of the ladies take the opportunity to remain after the meetings for a chat over a coffee or lunch. To Jess and the legatees, we owe you a big thank you for ensuring our meetings are interesting and run smoothly. And a special thank you to Kathy Patterson, who generously baked some buttery shortbread for our group. Cheryl Fitzgerald has decided it is time to take a break from being a legatee and has once again joined our group. We thank Cheryl for all she has done and welcome her back. Our first bus trip for the year was enjoyable. We headed north to Heather Bray Pies for morning refreshments and then back down south to Barara RSL for our lunch. We can highly recommend both venues. The package deal on the meal and drinks at the RSL was good value and the fresh fish delicious. The guest speaker on March the 7th was from Meals on Wheels, who proved extremely interesting and came armed with brochures on services available and the surprise information about the local community restaurant. We are all interested in hearing about entitlements from the guest speakers representing different organisations. Our next bus trip will be to Wyong Veterans Hub, and we have had input on where we would like to go in the future. Gosford Race Day, 10th of April, bookings have been taken, and we know that will be an enjoyable day. The ladies are looking forward to the coming year. Wattle Social Club. Hello everyone and welcome to our first Chatterbox column for 2025. Our Christmas party at the new Gosford RSL Club was a lovely, happy day, which we all enjoyed. We did have a little crush with the lift, but we all got to the function room okay. A delicious lunch with happy Christmas music and good company. A memorable day. Our first meeting this year was well attended. Good to see everyone back refreshed after the Christmas break. We also had some new members to welcome into our group. Angela discussed some of the exciting things planned for us this year. These included bus trips, Central Coast New South Wales Legacy Race Day, an invitation to the Ladies High Tea to celebrate International Women's Day in partnership with Central Coast Legacy, and Mother's Day at Gosford RSL Club. We are looking forward to a very busy year in 2025. Thank you to the Legacy staff and legatees who organise these special events for us. Our meetings are on the first and third Thursday of each month, held at the Erina Leagues Club, starting at 10:15 a.m. We really enjoy our bingo and time spent chatting with other war widow friends. Sometimes interesting subjects are brought up, which can also benefit the group. Our dear friend June Withy has now settled in with her daughter down in Geelong, Victoria. We all wish her well. Chen is our number one photographer, always taking photos and sharing them with the group. Our February bus trip was up to the Lake Macquarie area. We enjoyed seeing the new housing development and the beautiful scenery. Harrigan's Pub was the destination for lunch, which all enjoyed. We are looking forward to everything Legacy has in store for us this year. These events give us things to look forward to and enriches our lives. Social Bus Report. Welcome to 2025. For those who I haven't met yet, my name is Colin Bullard, and with the start of a new year brings new challenges. Mine being taking over the big shoes of Chris O'Malley and driving the Legacy bus full-time. One of my other new responsibilities is writing the Social Bus Report. While writing this, I was trying to think of the last time I wrote a report, and I'm pretty sure I was sitting at a school desk. I would like first to wish Chris all the best in his future endeavours. He has set a very high standard over the years, and his support and advice has proven invaluable. The first trip of the new year, we visited the newly refurbished Wangi Wangi Club with their ever-popular lunch deals. Next, we took a trip down south to the very quaint Barara RSL. A small note, which I am sure I will be reminded of, the club doesn't open till 12 o'clock. We also visited the beautiful Caves Beach Tavern, and although the heavy rain to end the day was unkind, the spirits on the bus weren't dampened. Other places that were visited were Mangrove Mountain Golf Club with its stunning views, the very stylish Harrigan's Pub at Cameron Park. This is just the start of many exciting trips we have booked for 2025. Well, Marie has. We have also tried an initiative this year as a thank you to you ladies. Legacy will be paying for your coffee, tea, or perhaps even a milkshake at morning tea. I would like to finish by thanking the legatees whose support is greatly appreciated by myself and the ladies. These trips couldn't happen without your ongoing support. So, if you are looking for a great day out, why not come on a social bus trip, the operative word being social, which means a great day out, great company and a great experience. Although I can't claim the jokes will be great. Colin. Captain Margaret L. Leishman, World War II Australian nursing sister, an Anzac Day tribute speech. Today, Anzac Day remains our most important national day of remembrance, marked by dawn services and veterans' marches. It is commemorated by Australians and New Zealanders throughout the world, not only remembering their forefathers who served at Gallipoli, but also their servicemen and women who served in all wars, conflicts, and peacekeeping operations. We will always remember, on this day in 1915, military forces from Australia and New Zealand landed on the Gallipoli Peninsula in Turkey, starting the immortal Anzac legend. We should also remember that Allied British and French troops landed on the peninsula on this day. Following this morning's moving account at the dawn service of the survival of Australian nursing sister Vivian Bullwinkle at the hands of the Japanese, I would like to mention another Australian nursing sister, my auntie, Margaret Leishman. Why my aunt? She was very typical of many Australian nurses who put themselves in harm's way. Perhaps you had a family relation who did the same thing during World War II. When World War II had started, Margaret had graduated as a nurse physiotherapist from Sydney University and quickly volunteered as an Australian nursing sister with the 2nd, 5th Australian General Hospital. Embarking from Sydney for the Middle East in 1940, after several weeks' voyage, Margaret arrived at Alexandria in Egypt. Soon she was helping to treat the stream of wounded Australian soldiers coming back from Tobruk. Early in April 1941, the nurses and physiotherapists of the 2nd, 5th and 2nd, 6th Australian General Hospitals were transported to Greece with the men of the Australian 6th Division. The German army was advancing quickly down the Greek peninsula, and the nurses found themselves being moved around frequently, often at short notice. Hospital supplies and food were in short supply, and many of the incoming wounded were suffering from frostbite. The fighting around the two Australian Field General Hospitals intensified, and both matrons in charge were ordered to prepare their nurses for immediate evacuation from the port of Piraeus. Senior matron Kathleen Best was asked to choose only 44 women from the 2nd, 5th to be evacuated. Space was limited, which meant 40 would have to stay behind. I told the sisters what was to happen and also made it clear to them that those who volunteered would stay behind with the hospital and they would, in all possibility, be captured. I asked them to write on a slip of paper their names and either stay or go and hand them to me. Not one sister wrote go on the paper. I then selected 39 sisters to remain with me. Margaret was one of these sisters. The next day, the situation deteriorated. German air raids intensified and the remaining nurses moved into the main hospital building in Athens, wearing their red capes and white caps, hoping they would be easily recognisable as non-combatants. Matron Best then received the order that they were all to be evacuated on a merchant ship full of troops, sailing for Crete in the early hours of the 26th of April. After the war, Auntie Margaret told me this harrowing story of what happened next. At the port of Piraeus, we were being ferried out to our merchant ship by launch when a squadron of German Stuka dive bombers appeared overhead. We all watched in horror as a large bomb made a direct hit on a nearby wharf crowded with soldiers. There was nothing we could do to help them, as our own ship was in jeopardy and was ready to sail. We just sat there and cried. After reaching Crete, the nurses were soon evacuated back to Alexandria, arriving on the 1st of May 1941. They worked in various hospitals for the remainder of the year, wherever the need was greatest. By early 1942, most Australian nurses had left the Middle East, along with the men of the 6th and 7th Division of the AIF, which were withdrawn to defend Australia from what was feared to be imminent Japanese attack. Arriving back in Australia, Margaret was then posted to New Guinea, serving with the 2nd 9th Australian General Hospital at Port Moresby, treating our wounded soldiers arriving back from the battles of the Kokoda Track. Legatee David Ferry. Legatee Bob Keating continues to entertain. Bob Keating has been a long-time Legacy Village resident and legatee at Central Coast New South Wales Legacy, and of late he has been very busy. He has featured in the Hammond Care annual report and has also had a TV interview, which is yet to be released, followed by a performance, Liberace Revisited, at Tommy's Cafe, with a number of legatees and residents, as well as members of the general public on hand to witness his amazing performance. Bob is an accomplished musician. He previously entertained on cruise ships and has delighted many an audience all over the Central Coast in clubs and restaurants, legacy functions and events, just to name a few. Bob really gets the audience members involved, performing memorable songs from their past, bringing smiles to the audience, which in turn brings a smile to Bob's face. Bob regularly plays the Last Post and Reveille at the Gosford Anzac Day service. We wish to congratulate Bob on his recent interview and performance. Well done, Bob. Poem. Friends. Life is sweet just because of the friends we have made and the things which in common we share. We want to live on, not because of ourselves, but because of the people that care. It's giving and doing for somebody else. On this all life's splendour depends. And the joys of the world, when you've summed it all up, are found in the keeping of friends. Junior's profile. Getting to know our junior beneficiaries, Jackson and Ava Whitbread. Jackson and Ava have been enrolled with Central Coast Legacy since April 2023. After transferring from Newcastle Legacy, they live with their mum Amanda and their older brother Chase. We decided to ask them some age-appropriate questions, and their answers are adorable. Jack's answers. 1. What is your favourite animal and why? Gorilla, because they are strong and tough. 2. What is your favourite colour? Sky blue. 3. What do you want to be when you grow up? An astronaut. 4. What is your favourite thing to do? Play Lego with Dad. 5. What is your favourite food? Dippity eggs and ice cream. 6. How old are you? 6 years old. 7. What is your favourite television show? Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. 8. What is your favourite toy? Definitely Lego. 9. If you could have a superpower, what would it be? I want to be invisible and shoot lightning. 10. What makes you laugh the most? Wrestling with my dad. Ava's answers. 1. What is your favourite animal and why? Unicorns, because they are so pretty and have magic. 2. What is your favourite colour? Pink. 3. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a doctor. 4. What is your favourite thing to do? I love swimming and playing with my friends. 5. What is your favourite food? Chocolate, yum. 6. How old are you? I'm nearly 4. 7. What is your favourite show? Teen Titans Go. 8. What is your favourite toy? Playing with my unicorn toys. 9. If you could have a superpower, what would it be? Have fairy wings that make me fly really fast. 10. What makes you laugh the most? I love when Dad tickles me. Ride for legacy. BOMAS Social Motorcycle Club. So, who or what is BOMAS? First off, let's take a look back in time. In 2017, the Sons of Anzac Motorcycle Club, a group who are descendants of defence veterans, approached Brisbane Water Legacy Club CEO Peter Lawley and offered to assist Legacy with raising funds for the Christmas hampers distributed to the beneficiaries each year. In November of that year, they organised the first Central Coast Hamper Ride, starting from the Gosford waterfront and ending at the Doyleson RSL Club. Prior to the ride, the Sons had approached various businesses on the coast for contributions. The total amount raised was over $7,500, along with many food donations. A precedent was set for the future. In 2020, with COVID on everyone's agenda, the Sons organised a virtual hamper ride based at the Legacy Hall in Gosford and live-streamed. About 2 years ago, the Sons had a change of direction and decided to no longer organise the hamper ride. A few of their members were not happy with the change and decided to start another club, hence BOMAS, Bikers of Military Ancestry and Service, was formed. Using their business contacts and running Bunnings Sausage Sizzles and other events, BOMAS presented Legacy with a cheque for $15,000 in 2023 and $20,000 this year. 18 of our club members supported the Ride for Legacy this year, at which there were around 100 bikes participating. Starting from Heatherbrae Pies at Urimba, the ride took in the Yarramalong Valley, Bumble Hill, and stopped for a break at Jerry's Cafe, which was closed. After the break, we proceeded back along Pete's Ridge Road, Pacific Highway via Moonee Moonee Bridge, then Wiseman's Ferry Road to Somersby, where we turned onto the M1 and ended at Urimba RSL Club. BOMAS ran a short commemoration service, complete with a catafalque party supplied by a Newcastle-based military reenactment group. This was followed by some odd games and heaps of raffles. Public relations and community. Picture captions. Legatee Beetle Bailey presented a certificate of appreciation to Chitaway Bay Tavern Social Golf Club for their continued financial support. During 2024, they raised $3,500 for Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. Photo Edward D'Souza, Manager, Licensee. We presented a certificate of appreciation to Summerland Sporties Club for their continued support. Photo left, Ben Stockdale, Venue Manager. Right, Luke Hudson, Venue Supervisor. Cadet Dining In and Presentation Night. Air Cadets Parade, Erina Army Depot. Legatee Beetle Bailey presented a certificate of appreciation to Tony Davis from Biker's Hand for their continued support to Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. It is also noted, and with congratulations to Tony and his organisation, on their recent Australia Day Award. Photo, Tony Davis. End captions. Engagement Committee. A wonderful day was had by a group of our legatees at the Pearl Farm on the Hawkesbury River. A chance to hold the beautiful pearls and learn why they cost what they do. Learning and friendship. Then a very enjoyable lunch at the Moonee Club. I highly recommend a visit if you haven't been. Legatee Karen Dryden. Commuting by train from the Central Coast. The Central Coast has a long and rich history of railway commuting, most commuters travelling every weekday down to Sydney and back, and a minority to Newcastle and back. The journey time in both directions is about an hour and a half. I started commuting in 1966 and ended in 1979. A lot of changes to trains and stations happened between these years, which I will detail. I will also mention what is happening today in 2025. Things have changed, yet sadly, some things have not changed. My first experience of train travel was at the age of 8. During the school holidays, I would travel with my mother and grandmother on the Newcastle Flyer for a day's shopping in Sydney, mainly at David Jones' store in the city centre. These were the good old days. A first-class, non-stop journey between Newcastle and Central, hauled by a 38-class steam engine. Mum would always take me up to the driver and fireman, who sometimes let me up on the footplate, which was a bit scary. We sat in first-class air-conditioned carriages, getting full meal service. Mainly, we had a Devonshire tea. Now back to reality. My first commute from Gosford in 1966. The main line from Sydney had only been electrified to Gosford. Everything going north was hauled by steam or diesel engines. The platform was cold this morning, with the Newcastle train running late by 10 minutes. Soon a 44-class diesel engine thundered in, hauling 8 non-air-conditioned wooden corridor coaches. We all rushed on board to get a spare compartment for a game of lively 500 cards, avoiding any smokers. The diesel was changed over to a 46-class electric engine, and with a big jolt and bang, we were off. As the cards were being dealt for our 500 game, I gazed out the window at the beautiful, still Brisbane water flashing past. Woi Woi was the next stop, and we latched our compartment door to stop any more passengers squeezing in so the card game wouldn't be spoilt. The game of 500 cards was a very serious experience each morning, with some small change departing our pockets. You soon learnt who were the better card players and how to avoid their skills. During winter, the major hazard playing our cards was when the carriage lights went out, normally a fuse blowing in the carriage fuse box. Luckily, we had a couple of railway employees with us, and they knew how to fix them. Delays were frequent, mainly due to large goods trains travelling in front of us failing during the climb out of the Hawkesbury River station to Cowan. One day, we were stuck for an hour and a half waiting for a train to be moved. Naturally, the game of 500 cards got very interesting while we waited. When we arrived at Hornsby, quite a few commuters left the train for the North Shore line, and the train was then overrun by Sydney commuters trying to get a fast run to Central. We had to give up the card game because seats were a high priority. Funny things happened on this trip, with one of the most memorable, while flashing past Macdonald Town Station, we couldn't believe our eyes. The whole station had been painted pink from top to bottom. The culprits were soon caught and forced to clean up the station, which was then back to its dreary self a month later. When we arrived at Central, we all hurried across to the Red Rattlers platforms, with my journey ending up at Wynyard. After the day's work, at 5 p.m. we were off again on our commute home, with more adventures awaiting us. Things were progressing on the Northern Railway line to Newcastle, with full electrification being completed. The diesel and steam engines were gradually disappearing on our commuter trains, and brand new silver all-electric trains were appearing. These trains were single-deck, 8-carriage trains, sadly with no air conditioning, though the passenger seats were reversible to be able to sit in the direction you were travelling. Friday night was party night in the front carriage, and the men all bought in a can of beer wrapped in brown paper, the girls a bottle of wine securely wrapped up. Our regular conductor was a nice bloke dressed in a suit during winter and wearing a Stetson hat. He knew us all by first name, as we all had yearly tickets made of metal, which cost about $350 a year. He would regularly remind us to keep our beverages securely wrapped. My last great adventure commuting was on the 2-carriage diesel railcar commuting to Newcastle. The manager in our Newcastle office had been ill, and I was posted to relieve him. These little diesel railcars really moved along, getting up to 80 miles an hour. One morning we were approaching Wyee Station at about 80 miles an hour when there was a large bang. then gradual silence as we could hear the powered car drawing quickly away from us. The carriage coupling had broken. On these trains, the guard normally travelled with the driver, so we were all alone, drifting slowly to a halt and then gradually rolling back until we stopped. Another passenger and I took the initiative and got everybody out of the carriage to climb up onto the cutting. We were very worried that another train would hit us coming from behind. 10 minutes later, the power carriage reversed, with the driver assuring us that all trains had been stopped. After a temporary coupling had been set up, we pulled into a siding at YE, where the main coupling was fixed 1 hour later. There was no bus transport in those days. 2 weeks ago, I travelled on a new D-class intercity train. These trains have been plagued by delays, which have cost the taxpayer millions and millions of dollars. Sadly, New South Wales Railways haven't got much to say when the government wants to save money by purchasing overseas. The seats were a little more comfortable, though they couldn't be reversed. The trains seemed to be faster, yet the inevitable lack of track capacity, especially around the Sydney suburbs, caused many delays. The driver must have stepped on the gas as we arrived at Gosford on time. Legatee David Ferry. Picture captions. 1966, 44 class diesel arriving at Gosford. 46 class electric departing for Sydney. Red Rattler. U class electric from Gosford to Sydney. Diesel railcar from Gosford to Newcastle. New D class departing from Gosford. 38 steam loco on the Gosford turntable. Newcastle station with Newcastle flyer and diesel railcar. End picture captions. Legacy beneficiaries contributions. Marlene by Patricia Heathfield. This is about my sister Norma's friend from Tibooburra, out west on the dingo fence. Her name was Marlene and she was having her 40th birthday. She was a talker and had done a nurse's training course. She came into town one sunny day, had a look around, decided to stay. Hell-bent on nursing to hospital she went, declared to the matron, "I'm here, heaven sent." Well, pretty soon things were going to plan. Scrubbing and cleaning and emptying pans, a hive of activity was our Marlene. Such attention to detail was not often seen. The hospital staff were certainly pleased she was there on the spot if someone just sneezed. You might well wonder what's wrong with that. It was just that Marlene sure loved to chat. She'd talk to the patient, the cleaners and all. The doctors and nurses were climbing the walls. She followed them to the theatre away in full voice. The patients were concerned. They had no choice. The first thing at morning, the last thing at night, was our Marlene's voice like a plane in full flight. It's then something happened they couldn't explain. Hospital admissions started to wane. The doctors and staff were depressed at such failure when patients checked out and off to South Australia. But relief was in sight. Word got around, Marlene and voice were off homeward bound. She settled down now away from the cattle. But still can't resist the old urge to prattle. And now when the cows and stock see her coming, they're up and they're off and they just keep on running. Picture caption, Legacy Bears Reach England. End caption. Book review. Heroic Australian Women in War by Susanna De Vries. Susanna De Vries gives us astonishing stories of female bravery from Gallipoli to Kokoda. The brave deeds of women in war have long been overshadowed by male heroics. In this inspiring book, renowned writer and historian Susanna De Vries profiles the grit, determination and selflessness of 11 outstanding Australian women serving in two world wars. From Olive King, a volunteer ambulance driver who saved countless lives in France and Serbia during World War I, to Vivian Bullwinkle, Joyce Tweddle and Sylvia Muir, all three of whom endured years of starvation and cruelty on Banker Island at the hands of their Japanese captors. Other women featured include Sister Alice Kitchen, Dr. Agnes Bennett, Dr. Lillian Cooper, Louise Mack, Joyce Nankivell-Locke, Mavis Parkinson and Sister May Heyman. These are all women who deserve to be known, recognised and celebrated alongside their male peers. In her informal, vivid style, De Vries focuses not only on the astounding courage these women displayed in battle, but also on their personal struggles and accomplishments, proving that they were each as influential and heroic in life as they were in war. Pamela Morton. Kathy's Kitchen. Sometimes I just don't feel like cooking and want to eat something that's easy, delicious and nutritious. I make this with king prawns, but there are variations and I'm sure you can think of a lot more. Ingredients: half a dozen cooked king prawns, shelled, deveined and cut into 3 or 4 pieces. Half an avocado, cubed. Half a mango, cubed. Mayonnaise with a drizzle of balsamic vinegar. Chopped red onion or chives. 6 iceberg lettuce leaves to hold the mixture. Method: mix the prawns, avocado, mango and mayonnaise together and place in the lettuce cups and eat with your fingers. You can also add any seasoning that you like or use chicken instead of prawns. Poem: In Friendship. There is a miracle called friendship that dwells within the heart. You don't know when it happens or when it gets to start. But the happiness it brings you always gives a special lift, and you realise that friendship is one of life's most precious gifts. Vale. Marie Allman. Gloria Ash. Heather Ashes. Joyce Blaschke. Jean Buxton. Norma Constable. Nola Dunn. Norma Eaton. Veronica Elder. Pamela Ford. Dorothy Gibbons. Pippin Grimmond. Irene Joy Harvey. Alison Kennedy. Lily Lee. Robert Moore. Nita Newell. Gladys Owen. Marjorie Peets. Dorothy Phillips. Muriel Price. Gwyneth Ronson. Lucy Roy. Mary Smith. Joan Sparks. Norma Stewart. Helen Taylor. Rita Timbrell. Audrey Trent. Patricia Young. Tread softly, for you walk on my dreams.
Continuing our legacy of care. There is a form provided in the print edition of Chatterbox. At the top of the form, there are 2 tick boxes if you would like information sent to you about how to help as a legacy volunteer or how to make a bequest to legacy. Underneath that, there is a space provided to write the dollar amount of your gift to the legacy family and tick boxes to indicate whether a cheque is enclosed or whether you would like legacy to debit your credit card. There is also a space for your credit card number and to indicate whether your card is Visa, Amex or MasterCard. You are then required to write the name on the card's expiry date, the CVN number, see note, your signature, your address and postcode, and your telephone number. All donations over $2 are tax deductible. Please return this coupon to Brisbane Water, New South Wales, Legacy, Post Office Box 4252, East Gosford, New South Wales, 2250. Note, the CVN number is the number that provides extra security for online payments. It's a 3-digit number on the back of Visa or MasterCard credit cards, or a 4-digit number on the back of an Amex card.
From our readers. Dear Mr. Lawley, on behalf of my mother, MJ, who sadly passed away on the 4th of August 2023, I would like to thank Central Coast New South Wales Legacy for all the help and support it has provided to her over the years. My mother was introduced to Legacy by the Reverend Father Max Sainsbury in 2014, following the death of my father, WJ, who was a serviceman in the Royal Australian Air Force. At that time, my mother was feeling very alone, and the prospect of having to continue life without my father to support her seemed completely overwhelming. However, through the generosity of your organisation and dedicated group of legatees, you turned her life around. Legacy was always there for her when she needed support, and they lobbied on her behalf to ensure she received the essential government services she required to live independently. My mother was so very grateful for all Legacy did for her and was strongly committed to supporting your organisation. To this end, she has bequeathed a gift in her will to Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. I hope that this will enable your organisation to continue providing much-needed services and support to the families of veterans in our local community. Sincerely, S.J. To Central Coast Legacy, the Board of Directors, and Angela, I want to express my sincere gratitude for the exceptional work you did in making my home safe and comfortable. Your team's kindness and dedication in looking after my welfare has brought me immense peace of mind. Knowing that I am safe and secure in my own home is a priceless gift. I am truly grateful for your assistance and would like to extend my sincerest thanks to everyone involved. With heartfelt appreciation, SH and family. I would like to thank the Legacy staff for staying with me when I had a fall. LM. To all the wonderful, caring staff, I'm writing this on behalf of my mum, AW. Thank you so much for the Christmas hamper. I really appreciated it, as well as the wonderful work Legacy does. It's really lovely that we are thought of. Again, thank you so much. AW. To all the Legacy staff, I just want to say thanks to the Legacy family for all the help they have given Natalie and I this year. You cheered me up in my darkest hours, which I greatly appreciated. Great to come home and see the lovely flowers which lifted my spirits. Looking forward to next year's lovely Widows Social Club meetings, outings and special functions, which gives me so much to look forward to. RV. To the staff of Central Coast Legacy, thank you very much for the hamper that was delivered to me. It is very much appreciated. Merry Christmas to all. C.H. I wish to thank you for the beautiful flowers that Jessica delivered to me yesterday for my 90th birthday. It was very kind and thoughtful of Legacy to remember my special day. Also, a few days before, I received a nice surprise of a Christmas hamper delivered to my home, with many items to enjoy over the Christmas holidays. Legacy, thank you for your kindness, and I wish you all a happy Christmas and a wonderful 2025. Sincerely, H.D. To Central Coast Legacy, I would like to thank you for the lovely hamper I received before Christmas. Thank you also to Bomas Bikers and all other sponsors. Thanks again, R.B. I would like to thank the staff at Legacy for the two surprises I got, B.L. To all the Legacy staff, thank you for everything. The flowers and the lovely luncheon. Everything was so wonderful. Never forgotten. Thanks again. M.H. Dear Angela and Legacy team, thank you very much for all your care and help with my recent dental work. I have had many compliments and my confidence boosted. J.M. The lighter side of life. The old detective had seen a lot in his time. But this was a first. Sister Agnes had vanished from the convent without a trace. He arrived at the convent and was met by the other holy women. And so began his investigation. But the sisters were not helping. Finally, in frustration, he yelled, "No offence, but I'm investigating the kidnapping of the Mother Superior." Then Sister Mary looked up and said calmly, "None taken." Dave called the RSPCA and said, "I've just found a suitcase in the bush containing a fox with four cubs." "That's terrible," the RSPCA officer responded. "Are they moving?" Dave replied, "I'm not sure, but that would certainly explain the suitcase." Jack had been a religious man all his life. When rushed into hospital, his family called a preacher to stand with them. As the preacher stood next to the bed, Jack's condition appeared to worsen, and he motioned frantically for something to write on. He was lovingly handed a pen and paper, and Jack used his last gasp of energy to scribble a note, which he handed to the preacher, and then he died. The preacher thought it best not to look at the note at the time and placed it in his jacket pocket. At the funeral, as he was finishing his eulogy, he realized that he was wearing the same jacket as he had at the hospital. He said, "You know, old Jack handed me a note just before he died. I haven't read it yet, but knowing Jack, I'm sure there's a word of inspiration there for us all. He opened the note and read out loud, "You're standing on my oxygen tube." A woman was called to the hospital because her husband was involved in an accident. The doctor met her by the nurse's station and then said, "Your husband is in the ICU right now, and to be honest, I don't like how he looks." The wife replied, "Neither do I, but he respects me and is good with the kids." Two blokes are pushing their trolleys down the aisle of the supermarket when they run into each other. The younger bloke says, "I'm sorry for running into you. I'm a bit distracted. You see, I'm looking for my wife." The older bloke says, "That's quite all right. I'm looking for my wife as well. What does your wife look like?" The younger man says, "She's beautiful, blonde, and wearing a short black dress. What does yours look like?" The older man says, "Never mind. Let's look for your wife." For years, the debate in the zebra community whether they are white with black stripes or black with white stripes has been escalating toward actual conflict. To avoid a civil war, the Zebra Council decided to take the issue to the lion who, as king of the jungle, could decide the matter once and for all. The lion held an extended session with the leader of each faction and then emerged to address the herd. "After significant deliberation, I regret that I am unable to determine whether you are black with white stripes or white with black stripes." As the zebra herd was expressing its disappointment, the lion continued, "However, I can console you with what I did learn through the deliberations." The herd grew silent in anticipation. "Y'all are delicious." In the garden with Roz Bailey. Hot, humid, and heavenly. There are certain aspects of gardening that's not everyone's cup of tea, and hot and humid environments is one of them. But for some of us, this is almost a primal switch that triggers something very special. I'm not talking about gardening in tropical climates. I'm talking about glasshouses and conservatories. Yes, those very special places where the temperature and moisture is controlled, and the area is generally closed in, creating a wonderfully exotic and calming experience. We've all had the pleasure of wandering through such places, generally in botanical gardens on our travels. But many of the plant growers' enclosures and private glass houses all exude this same magnificent feeling of earthiness and vitality. For me, my first foray into indoor plants was as a 15-year-old, visiting a local Italian neighbour's private glasshouse, where he sold his treasures occasionally. It was like entering another world for me, one that I felt safe, enlivened, and almost mysterious. The wondrous plants that grew in this private world were fantastical to a young child, who at a very early age was introduced to the gardening world in general by my great-aunt and grandmother. My sister and I were regularly taken for trips to the Adelaide Botanic Gardens, where they once displayed the most majestic English conservatory greenhouse. Sadly, it is long gone, and now replaced with a massive rainforest conservatory, which still has much appeal, but not a patch on the lovely old elegant white ornate frame and glassed windowed structure that housed the most special of plants from rare and tropical places. As my life moved on and into my first home, gardening became an early passion, and once I'd gardened the life out of this new place, I looked at adding on my very own conservatory to our house in the English way. We ended up converting the drive-through garage, opening it into living space, with a glass hexagonal conservatory looking out to the back garden. Complete with slate floor, cane furniture, and plants galore, it was a wonderfully calming space. Even in the coldest wet weather, you were cloaked in warmth and coziness. As our family grew and I'd out-gardened this small suburban yard, we moved onto small acres and built a home and lifestyle garden, full of animals and aviaries, ponds and vegetable gardens, pathways that meandered through English perennial beds, and of course, roses, roses, roses. By this time, I'd left my bank teller job and found myself working in a Bunnings nursery. Yes, I'd made it to my ultimate happy place. Of course, all I did was recycle my wage straight back into Bunnings, but the benefits were that we always got offered things going out of stock at greatly reduced prices, and one of those remarkable items was a small glasshouse. Well, actually it was made of aluminium and strong perspex, but had windows and a door and was everything my little heart desired. I already had a greenhouse area, but a glasshouse was the pièce de résistance. It came flat-packed and was a German precision-made product that came with an overwhelming number of parts, screws and odd components and an instruction book that read like War and Peace. It took 2 whole days to build after bolting the base down on an old concrete pad, but when it was finished, I was the happiest girl around. Then it was just a case of putting in galvanised shelving, an ornate butcher's stand at one end, and bags of mulch to soften the floor, and I was in business. My own glasshouse. I was able to take loads of cuttings and trialled roses from seeds. I had trays of seedlings sprouting and generally just loved to be closeted away in that cosy little environment with a cup of tea. It was sad to leave it all behind when we decided to have a life and sea change after 20 years. But the funny thing is, I've still managed to turn our front enclosed deck, which overlooks a beautiful waterway, into a glassed-in wonder full of lush and leafy plants. So I guess it's a pattern in my life that I never realised till I thought about writing this to you.
Announcements and advertisements. Are you having trouble attending widows' clubs because of mobility or transport reasons? Call the Legacy Office on 4323 4977 for assistance. Legal appointments available to all enrolled beneficiaries every Tuesday at Legacy Village, 51 to 57 Masons Parade, Point Frederick. For an appointment, please call the Legacy Office on 4323 4977. The new Central Coast New South Wales Legacy website is now live. Visit us at www.cclegacy.com.au. Central Coast New South Wales Legacy operates widows' social clubs at various locations across the Central Coast. Our social clubs provide an opportunity for our enrolled beneficiaries to get together for a social catch-up, have a cuppa and a bicky, discuss social events, including regular bus trips, bingo days, morning teas, luncheons, and other events that may interest our beneficiaries. Transport can be arranged for our beneficiaries to attend the meetings. Each meeting is attended by our legatee liaison officers and also one of our welfare officers. If you are interested in attending one of our widows' clubs, please contact the Legacy Office on 1800-LEGACY, that's 1800-534-229, or 4323 4977. Wyong Hire Cars. Free transport for DVA Gold Card to any medical appointment. Doctors, podiatrist, dental, physio, chiro, etc. Covering addresses in the below postcodes. 2259, 2261, 2262, 2263. To make a booking, call Wyong Hire Cars, 02-4353 5725. Creighton's Funeral Service. Greenway Chapel and Memorial Gardens and Palmdale Lawn Cemetery and Memorial Park. Caring for you and your loved ones since 1843. Lock in the price today with a prepaid memorial site and funeral plan. Ask us how on our 24/7 care line, 1300 130 955. Creightonsfuneralservice.com.au. Contact details. Editorial Committee. Editor, David Ferry, 0401 715 184. Members, Mark Gattenhoff, David Harris. Legacy Executive, President, Patrick Gallagher, 0420 564 685. Vice President, Bob Lowry, 0407 911 390. Legacy Village, 51 to 57 Masons Parade, Point Frederick. Phone 02-4323 4977. Fax 02-4323 4458. Email legacy@cclegacy.com.au. Next issue, 105. Copy deadline is Monday, the 23rd of June, 2025. Copyright Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy. Reproduction in whole or in part is prohibited without prior written consent from Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy. All rights reserved. Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy does not warrant that the information available in this magazine is accurate, complete or current. Opinions expressed are those of the respective authors and not necessarily those of Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy. This concludes the recording of Legacy Chatterbox, issue number 104 for April 2025 from Legacy Central Coast, New South Wales. Care has been taken in the recording of this publication, but Vision Australia does not accept responsibility for the results of specific action taken on the basis of this recording, nor for any error, omission, or incorrect pronunciation. This recording is copyright. No unauthorised copying, broadcasting, or public performance is permitted.